Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Be good, Cliffy. That is live audio of my cat, Cliff. I'm sure up to no good. Claws out on the furniture. Yeah, that would not be the cat.
You told me that cat's a little crazy at times.
He is a little crazy. And the grunter, Hurricane Gale, is blowing into town tomorrow. So if you're in the East Bay, heads up, because Gale is coming to town. It's Jolo and Dibs. Joe is out today. Guru is in. Cousin Goo, I appreciate you being a good sport, Goo, as we brought up the old fight one last time to try to clear the air here.
Yeah, I feel better.
I think we all do, Goo.
Like the tension's gone.
Yeah, it's all gone. You're back to first cousin status.
Appreciate it.
Welcome back to the fold. You'll be the first in line at the family potluck. You know, you'll be right there getting you a plate of food. All is good. 888-957-9570 is the phone number. The PenskeAutoSales.com text line, 95795. A lot of texters, low, lamenting the fact that you're going to be gone for such a long stretch. Actually, it was just one person who texted in. I think they might have done it by accident.
I don't think that was by accident. Give a shout out to the 415. You know, appreciate that. Appreciate saying you're going to miss low. I'm going to miss you all. And, you know, it was a story that my grandmother told me if I can.
I'm sorry, low.
Shut up, low.
We're really. Joe. I'll do the rebukes today, Joe. You'll be back on Monday. But right now, we don't have time.
It's not just me, you, see?
Lo, I'm sorry. We don't have time for a story because right now it's time for Anna Kaganakis and your sports update.
Well, we're going to start off with the Warriors, who were busy during the NBA draft. Even though the reigning champs didn't have a pick, they paid once again for the 38th overall, sending a reported $3.5 million to the Bulls in order to acquire Oregon's Jordan Bell. Bell was the Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year. GM Bob Myers was surprised to get Bell.
We had him in the first round as far as how we ranked guys, and he was one of our targets. We had a few targets, but he was one of them. Joe's always a little more optimistic than I am about getting these things done, but I'm lucky to work with a great owner that is aggressive, willing to spend. I mean, not a lot of people allow their front office to pursue things like this.
Now, Golden State will introduce the big man today. We'll carry that press conference live right here at 1 o'clock on 95.7 The Game. Warriors get another duck, also signing undrafted forward from Oregon, Chris Boucher. Now, here's how the top five picks rounded out in the NBA draft. Markelle Fultz went one overall to the Sixers. Lakers pick Lonzo Ball with the second pick. Celtics take Jason Tatum third. Suns get Josh Jackson at four. And the Kings pick De'Aaron Fox with the fifth pick. Timberwolves also traded for All-Star Jimmy Butler, sending Zach LaVine, Chris Dunn, and the number seven pick to Chicago. On to baseball, A's get swept by the Astros, but next they head to Chicago to face the White Sox today. Jarrell Cotton on the mound, dugout show at 4:15. Now A's president Dave Cavill will join the morning show next. Giants finish their road trip 1-7 after falling short to the Braves in a 12-11 loss. San Francisco is back home to face the Mets with Ty Block with the start. And the $125 million man, Derek Carr, his press conference is today at 10:30 live here. Again, on 95.7 The Game, I'm Anna Kaganakis, also for your home for Oakland A's baseball, 95.7 The Game.
Thank you very much, Anna. Well done. Tremendous work. It's my pleasure now to go out to the phones and welcome in a friend of mine, a man who was instrumental in me breaking into the Major League Soccer play-by-play realm when he was president of the San Jose Earthquakes. Now he shifts over to the Oakland Athletics, and I can't help but wonder, Dave, if my big break in Major League Baseball is sure to follow. Good morning, Dave. When do I start?
Oh, we got to get you over here maybe later today, Dibs. You want to get it started?
Yeah, I'm free, you know, and I think that Glenn Kuiper's had a nice run. It's been a good little career, but it may be time for a change, Mr. Cavill.
Well, we might need to have you for a tryout first. We'll see how it goes.
Absolutely. Smart man.
Well, my first tryout went pretty well, Lo. The blonde-haired bedlam may ring a bell for Mr. Cavill.
Oh, it does. That was some great times there at Buckshaw.
So many great times.
Well, Mr. Cavill, I know that Dibs must have been a lever, right? Leaving right where you got him because he's not that, but still there anymore.
No doubt.
Thanks for joining us, Dave. And obviously, questions about the current team, and I do want to ask you about some of the unique things you've done this season, but obviously all the attention is on the upcoming stadium and when it's going to be built and where is it going to be. What can you update us as it pertains to the two sites being talked about, the one near Laney College and the one at Howard Terminal? Which site is favored by the A's, and where are we on the progress for this potential future stadium?
Well, we actually still have three sites, including the Coliseum site. So we have the Coliseum site, the Peralta site, which is near Laney College and Lake Merritt, and then we have the Howard Terminal site near Jack London Square. And so all three sites are still neck and neck. You know, we have not made a final decision. We're still meeting with stakeholders in the different areas around the locations. We're working through transit, traffic, parking, all the things that are necessary to make sure you pick the right site. And by the same token, we just want to make sure that when you make a big generational decision like this, you're thoughtful, you're smart about it, and we actually have a progress and a plan for long-term success.
Is there a sense that everyone is kind of getting consensus on which site will be the best, or is there still an idea that different agencies are in different camps over what might be best?
Well, you know, there's still work being done, things like understanding the land acquisition cost, understanding, you know, what is the 10, 20, and 30-year plan in the East Bay on transit, like with BART, AC Transit. They have a BRT line, which is a bus rapid transit line. All these things are important because you're making a huge, you know, $600-700 million investment, privately financed with the ballpark, and you need to make sure that the supporting infrastructure is in place for its success, or it's going to be hard to get to and from the venue. And so all those things have to be considered together. You know, we are on track to make the announcement on the final location by the end of this year, and that'll also include a timeline with the specific dates, you know, projected groundbreaking, the year we feel with the weekend open, so people will understand the milestones and then can track that progress as we move forward, you know, month by month.
I couldn't agree with you more. When you're thinking about the stadium and you're looking at where you guys are at now, we understand the Raiders are leaving, the Dubs are leaving, and you're talking about different places getting in, ingress and egress, all the things that are already on a property, transportation, the BART system, everything's right there. You know, you look at a lot of the things, of course, you would need to put a lot of lipstick on the pig or just build a new stadium, but the pipes, all the infrastructure is there on that site. Is that not an option, a viable option, since both those other teams won't be on the premises and you can build around it, landfill inside, apartments,
yes,
all the things there?
Absolutely. And so, you know, we feel that the Coliseum property is still a viable option, and that's why it's still one of the three final locations. And, you know, we're working hard with all the key stakeholders to see if that might be the finalist. You know, there's pros and cons, like I've said before, with
sure,
each site. We want to make sure the transit and infrastructure piece makes sense. We also want to make sure the parking and you can get to the venue, but we also want to make sure that you can have kind of like a ballpark village and bars and restaurants and kind of a vibrancy around the building, because that makes it exciting on like a Tuesday night when you're playing the Orioles. And so I think it's really important that you have all those aspects together and that we pick a location that can fulfill all these goals.
Dave, when you look at the product on the field, I mean, your team is treating the fans to a good outing when they're playing at home, and they're led by Chad Pinder and Ryan Healy, and these guys are mashing the ball. They're young. How excited are you that these guys have come up to the big club and shown that they can stay?
I love the youth movement is tremendous, and it's critical as we launch this new ballpark that we build a nucleus of young players to build around, and that our fans know those players will be here for many years. And so we're part, you know, right now we're actually developing that. We're making sure that we get these young guys time, and we're making sure that they gel together, and that nucleus is one that carries us into the new stadium, but it also carries us to more world championships.
A's President Dave Cavill joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Some of the things you've done this year off the field, such as opening the upper deck and the ballpark pass, have gone over very well. Obviously, the food trucks outside as well. What have you thought about the feedback and the way it's looked from your first year and some of the changes you've made off the field?
Well, we've tried to be fan first in everything that we do. Many of the ideas have come out of the open office hours that I have with fans and community members. Pretty much once a week or sometimes more than once a week. And so it's just a great opportunity to solicit ideas and thoughts and perspectives from so many of our great fans who are very knowledgeable. And we brought in the food trucks and took off the tarps and, you know, I think the vibe and energy at the Coliseum is great. You know, we've opened all the stands, we've redone the menu. You know, we just want to make sure that, this season's like more like the Yankee series, where we had, you know, 35,000 for several of the games, and the atmosphere was great, and we won all four games, and the energy was incredible. So there's no better venue than the Coliseum when it's full, and we're doing everything we can to make sure that happens as many times this season as possible.
One of the plans you came up with was this idea of a ballpark pass where fans could spend, I think, $20 a month to get access to all the games. How many people have signed up for that, and do you think this sort of ticket packaging maneuver is going to be something that catches on around baseball?
Well, we have over 2,000 people that have signed up, and it's been a great way to demo a new product and get especially a lot of millennials and younger folks out to the ballpark. And, you know, they feel like, hey, for $20 a month, I get this pass. I can show up at the venue, and then, boom, you're offered opportunities to upgrade, to get better seats. And it's just a really interesting way to have a low cost in terms of a barrier to come to the venue, experience our product. And it's been well received. And so we're experimenting with that. We're going to continue to roll that out and use it as a way to get new folks out to the Coliseum and grow our fan base.
Is it critical for you in your position to try to attract these millennials, especially now with baseball seeing more inaction in its game than ever before, more strikeouts and seemingly more downtime? This plan seems to be one geared toward millennials, but what other things can you and other baseball teams do to attract this younger audience to a game that does skew a little bit older?
I think you have to build a ballpark that's more conducive to the millennial crowd, more like what we did with the Vaya Stadium with the soccer team, the Quakes. Have areas like the largest exterior bar in North America or the epicenter with the food trucks. And we've done some of that here with the Coliseum by having Championship Plaza, because I think the notion that people will sit for nine innings in one seat in Section 121 is kind of like a dated notion. And I think a lot of the younger folks want to move around and have different experiences and meet their friends and do three innings one place and two innings another place. And we need to create an environment and a product offering that actually fulfills that. And we're trying it here at the Coliseum. It's a kind of a blank slate. And then when we build our new venue, we hope to build that into the actual infrastructure.
David, you're also trying to build your team into a contender, and you see a team like the Golden State Warriors win a championship. I know these are grown men, but how important is that for your team, these young guys, to be around that ambiance and see what it takes to be a winner? Does that help at all?
Oh, I think it does, and I think it's great when we've had guys like Klay Thompson or Kevin Durant out at the games interacting with our players. I think it's also important that we celebrate our own history of the A's. And, you know, we had the Catfish Hunter Gate. Gate C is now the Catfish Hunter Gate. And we had all the old-timers from the early 70s teams, guys like Reggie Jackson and Vida Blue and Blue Moon Odom. And so they were all out meeting with our players and talking to them. And I think the players see, when you have a championship-caliber team, the camaraderie amongst the individuals, their families even, is tremendous. And that rubs off in a positive way.
Dave Cavalier is president, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. One more before we let you go, and it was tough yesterday to hear the news that Stephen Vogt was designated for assignment, a fan favorite, an organizational favorite. How tough is that in your position and as an organization to have to part ways with a veteran player who is beloved in the interest of going to that youth movement?
Yeah, I mean, it was obviously a very difficult decision. You know, Stephen has done so much for this organization, for this city. And, you know, but in baseball, sometimes hard decisions need to be made, especially with our focus on the youth movement and getting some of the younger players up and at bats. And so these are sometimes the tough decisions that need to be made to move forward. But we wish Stephen the best. He's a tremendous individual and a person, and I'm sure he'll do well in the future.
Dave Cavill, A's president, thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend, and look for me in your next office hours lobbying for more work.
All right, I'll look for you. Thanks, guys.
All right, Dave, thank you so much. Dave Cavill, the things he did for the Earthquakes. Guru and I joke around about my time with the Quakes and the fact that he gave me my start, but he really did help usher me in for the one season I did it. And then when you look at what they did with the Vaya Stadium, building the longest outdoor bar in America and turning that into a preeminent soccer-only facility, you can't help but wonder what Dave's going to do for the A's in their eventual stadium.
Yeah, the great Rick Tittle took me out to that stadium, and I couldn't believe that I had just bypassed that and never seen that work of art. It was beautiful. And we rode to Reno and bonded, and you shared some stories from your days of doing the quake.
It's pretty exciting, Lo, what he's doing over there as far as the food trucks and changing around some things. They put in Scheib Park and the old, I guess, West Side Club is where they put that in. It's much more of a fan-friendly experience now, even if the tarped seats that are now open aren't always full.
Right, it is, and you're trying to bring some sizzle. But, you know, I think the appetizer is there, but now they need the entree. You can do that so long, and then people say, okay, I need to see the entree. I need the steak and the potatoes. And I think that they're in that process now of trying to make it more exciting, bringing in the food trucks, trying to getting things going in the right direction. But now people and fans, they want to see that product on the field, see that time for them to take the right steps, see some long-term guys get brought into the things. You see it's hard when Steven, a guy like Steven Volk, who's helped this organization, who's a mainstay, now you're not going to be here any longer. It's the part of baseball, but it's also a part that fans don't like to see, especially it happened to good people.
Yeah, it's hard to see these guys leave. I do understand the whole youth movement and moving forward and getting ready for the next ballpark. I do love the fact that he kind of called the Coliseum the blank slate to test everything out, to see how it goes with the food trucks and everything. Also, the ballpark pass, my husband bought the ballpark pass. And he's been happy with it. He's planning on taking my son to more games now because of it. So it's a great idea.
And it's a monthly fee that you pay throughout the year, like $20 a month, and you have access to every game?
Pretty much every game. You get the upgrades and everything. So he's excited to go to more games now this summer.
Fantastic. It's great stuff. I'm excited for what Dave's going to do for the A's in the future and what he said about the young players, trying to keep them in the fold as they get ready to go to a new stadium in 3 or 4 years. I think that's very important. Jolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Up in about 5 minutes, we'll get into some Guru's gripes here. I know you run a little hot this morning, Guru. I know you have a couple of gripes. We'll get into that here in about 6 minutes, and we'll talk about all the things that could be driving you crazy. One thing, Lo, we were talking about earlier this morning was the idea of the one and done in the NBA. And is it time to get rid of this rule put in about 15 years ago that prevented players from coming straight out of high school into the NBA? We saw last night a record 16 freshmen picked in the first round. 16 of 30 selections were freshmen, which makes you think, did it really need to be the case that these freshmen went to 1 year of college? Some of them were already NBA ready, but the system is such that they're forced to go to college for that 1 year. Is it time for this idea to change?
It really is. I think if you're a senior in high school and you decide to forego and go into the NBA, let them. I mean, think about the workforce. If you have a son or a daughter and they're in high school and you say, hey, go to college. I want you to go to college. And they said, you know what? No, I got a job. I'm going to go work for PG&E, or I'm going to start my profession that I believe it's a bartender, or someone gave them a management job working at a car dealership. And you would say, God, you want them to go to college, but if they decide to make that happen because they have the choice and their employee says, we want you here, then let them work. Even though it may, as a parent, you might not want it to happen. So I really believe you go do away with this one and done. I think you let seniors, if they're a senior and they're ready for the NBA, you let them come in. But I just don't think you waste the scholarship. There's some other, because if these guys are ready, then I think the NBA should have a smaller league. They can come out for a year and train with this small NBA, get paid for it, have another league that's before the D League, and have something like the Gatorade League, rather, and have another one that they can train for a year and then let them enter the draft. Because that way you don't necessarily waste a scholarship for 8 months. There's other kids out there, probably a little lesser talent, that would be able to stay in school a little bit longer and take advantage that for that scholarship that would be going to a kid that is less talented but could use that scholarship to get an education and to further themselves. And then when you're in college, make it mandatory. If you decide to go, then stay for 2 years. If you're not good enough to go for that NBA D League, another league, then just stay in college, give them 2 years, because these coaches, they get paid too, college coaches, that is, and it's not also fair for them to have an eight-month kid, and all of a sudden now they got to rebuild and try to build a team, so give them something.
Well, the system's already set up to favor the coaches, because the coach can go from job to job without any reprisals, whereas the kid has to sit out a year if he wants to transfer school. So you're not going to get me to have any sympathy for these college coaches that make upwards of $5 million a year and in a system in which they can exploit the players pretty easily. Guru, what do you think about the idea of the one and done? Initially put there to protect these young players, these young men, from making a potentially foolish decision in going pro when you're not actually ready and then being stuck without a place to go. What do you think should be done about the one and done?
I don't get it. What does that mean, you're not actually ready? We send 18-year-olds to fight wars, but they can't continue to play basketball. Mm. You can survey your body, your mindset, and know if you're ready to play on the next level. Now, like Lo did say, I would like to see a triple A to where you go there and all right. You guys are on the same status in regard to we all know we're going to the next sure. level. And now that I get, but to go to school and college and say that you got to basically go with this facade that you want to get an education, it's baloney. And I would tell you, if it were me and my kids had the opportunity to be a number one draft pick and get $20 million, we'll go back and get the paperwork, because now in our society, the paperwork no longer guarantees that you're going to get what was promised to you. So go get your money, and I don't like the 1-2 year pause. And then you go get it. And who's that really helping? And don't say the colleges, because it's not. It's wasting resources.
I think that's why you have this AAA league or whatever, you like, kind of like baseball. Because for me, I look at it as then you have all these guys that are competing, all these guys that we know they want to be in the NBA. So they're there. So they're not going to necessarily, I wouldn't say waste, but the institution, when you look at football is good and it builds a brand because, and you know way more football players in college than you knew basketball, because even if it's 2 or 3 years, what happens now, you get a built-in fan base that these fellas, when they come to the NFL, which is a shorter earned play because more injuries, they already have the college, and that's why football's bigger. All I'm saying is there's a lot of kids that are second tier and third tier. So if you start this thing where they can go in a triple A, at least some of these lesser kids, athletes, they can get a scholarship, and maybe they're not coming out, but at least they would be able to take advantage of the education and the institutional value that they could be able to get.
888-957-9570 if you've got a thought on the one and done rule, or you can hit us on Twitter at 957TheGame. You can always follow us there and engage in conversation. We are constantly checking our Twitter page and our Facebook as well, which is facebook.com/957TheGame. And of course, hit us on the PenskeAutoSales.com text line at 957-95. All the different ways you can reach us here at 957TheGame. Right now, Guru, it seems like you're a little bit unreachable. It seems like you've got something that you want to get off your chest. It's time now for America's favorite segment. It's Guru's Gripes, Mother Father. Guru. Any day now, Goo.
This is a
Guru.
Special gripe. Guru. And it's about death.
Guru.
And I just want people that are listening right now.
Happy
you
Friday,
here.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Don't take
for granted life. I lost my Aunt Glenda and my cousin Anthony.
Dang.
Within a week. And I just want to tell everybody, call your loved ones, enjoy your family, and whatever you have going on, it can get better. And the fact that you woke up this morning and you got another 24 hours, you are winning and you've been blessed. I just think too many times in our life, we take what we have in front of us for granted. So again, just a PSA, Lo, I'm tired of death, and I just want everybody to have fun, enjoy life, and if you have something going on, call a family member, try to get help, because it can get better, and you are still here.
Damn, preach on it, Goo.
That's all.
That's good.
Other than that, I'm in a good mood.
I appreciate you looking good.
No, stop.
You got your dog tag chain on.
Lo calls it the starter kit. You know, I ain't getting
Goo,
paid.
Goo, stay fresh. No, I didn't say no starter kit, bro. Come on, man. I didn't come
I
at
remember
you like,
the day you
you
said.
Look nice, Goo. You always keep it
you
one
said,
on.
What, he's got like an OG starter kit? Is that what you're talking about?
You know, Goo, no, he looks stop. Sweet.
Look, I don't look like young Mike Tyson. Look at those weapons over there alone.
No, Goo,
the Mutual
on,
Admiration Society can wait till 10:01, you
please.
Two. 888-957-9570. We're talking about the idea of the one-and-done policy. Should the NBA do away with the one-and-done policy that forces kids to go to college for 1 year? We had Gary Parrish on earlier this morning. He from CBS Sports. He's a great college basketball analyst. He had an intriguing idea on how to fix this problem.
I think they've got to move in either direction. I'm personally for what would be the baseball rule, which is, if you're immensely talented, or even if you're not and you want to go, I don't care. I'm going to worry about my kids. If other kids make mistakes, I'll let their parents worry about that.
He's talking about the baseball model, which is you can get drafted as a senior in high school and you can go to the minor leagues and join that organization, or you can go to college, at which point you're not eligible to be drafted for three more years. Would a solution like that work for the NBA, Guru?
Yes, and the reason I say yes is it gives you an option, Lo. It's telling you, if you do A, these are the repercussions. If you do this, you go that way. And right now there's a gray area, and I'm just tired of the gray area pretending to be, we care about you so much, said athlete, you need to go to college for 2 years. And the college athlete does not even show up to classes. It's all facade.
Yeah, I think that you're right. I think that you do need to have a AAA league, something like what the Major League Baseball does. And where I differ from that, because I look at guys like certain guys, the Jason Kidds, a lot of guys do go to college and they take advantage of it. And they get an education, and they get degrees. We have Klena here, you know, Klena Asabuka, who comes on the show. Certain guys doesn't have necessarily the ability to go to the NBA right away, and I get that. And I just think all I'm saying is let guys, I would get rid of the rule, let seniors come out, put them in a league, and that's what they have ambitions to be in the pros, then let them be in that league where that 1 year they can train in the pros. They should get paid while they're in that little league. And then the following year, if they want to come into the NBA, let them. I think it's you should, because if they have the ability to earn money, you don't stop them. I'm just saying and there's kids that decide to go to the college, keep it for 2 years and let some of the chemistry and let them go ahead and work on fundamentals and let them stay in school. Then if you decide to go that route for 2 years, I'm just saying there's a lot of kids out there, Guru, that wish they can get a scholarship. And if those elite kids are now playing semi-pro right away and getting paid for it, it affords other kids the opportunity to play college ball and also get a degree.
To me, in this great land of opportunity, you should never be denied if you've got the skill set to qualify for something. You should be able to go out there. Imagine if they had a rule in music that you had to be 18 in order to cut a record, and little Stevie Wonder, as an 8-year-old blind
great
kid
point.
Out there churning out records, or Michael Jackson, or any of these other young stars. If the Kehlani, shout out Oakland, California, when she came up before she was 18. No other industry are you restricted by your age in this manner. Brian Baldinger, 12-year NFL veteran, is going to join us next. Talk about the Derek Carr contract and the state of the NFL. It's Joe Lo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. 95.7 The Game. Up in 15 minutes, we'll visit with our good friend JT the Brick, who will carry the ball from 10 to noon here on 95.7 The Game. Joe Lo and Dibs, Dan Dibley, Lorenzo Neal, and Daryl the Guru Johnson in for Joe Fortenbaugh. It's my pleasure to turn to the phones once again and bring in a 12-year NFL veteran analyst for the NFL Network, Brian Baldinger. Follow him on Twitter at BaldyNFL. Brian, good morning. Derek Carr about to get $125 million his press conference today. Just how much does this ratchet up the pressure on Derek Carr and the Raiders this year?
Well, I mean, the pain would be a superstar, and he's been a star, and now he's got to be a superstar, and that means regardless of the record, regardless of the competition, the AFC West, you know, they're expected to win the AFC West and to make the playoffs and to win in the playoffs. I mean, that's what they're paying him to do. That's when you're the highest paid player in the history of the league, your expectations is to do that, and I don't think he has any fear about that, because that's just not his personality at all. To be worried or fearful or to feel that kind of pressure. I mean, he's been a gamer. Fourth quarter comebacks, as much as any player in the first 3 years in the NFL, he's had those. I think he lives for it. So now he's got to go do it. And it's funny, because a year ago, when everybody was saying, look at the talent that the Raiders have, Jack Del Rio was like, yeah, we have some, but we got to go do it. We got to go play now. And they did last year. And so I think that's the expectation right now, is to win the West and get to the playoffs and go deep in the playoffs.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. And then when you saw Derek go down, you saw the team kind of lackluster effort and couldn't put together wins. So when you look at Carr, What do you want to hear from the press conference today that he has at 10:05? What are some of the buzzwords that you want to hear from your leader, from the highest paid player in the National Football League? What are some of the things that you'd like to take away?
Well, you know, Lo, it's a great question, and we'll hear, I guess, in a while. But, you know, all the other players, whether it was Aaron Rodgers or even Andrew Luck or going back to Peyton, you know, when these guys got paid like that, it was all about going beyond any expectations. You know, like they're going to be their harshest critic. It's about playoff wins right now when you get paid like that for a quarterback. It's not about the regular season. Regular season, you're expected to win. And so I think it's about the playoffs and really even if you mentioned Super Bowls today. I mean, that's what I want
sure.
to hear. I want to hear Raiders and Super Bowl. It's been a long drought. Everybody knows that's part of Raider Nation or just following the league. It's about Super Bowl expectations right now. And I think if that comes out of Derek Carr's mouth, I don't think that's overshooting the expectations. I think that's where it's at right now for this team.
Baldy, when you look around the league, mainly in Dallas, I mean, the Dallas offensive line right now is a quarterback's dream. You got Dez Bryant, the gift that is Ezekiel Elliott. And Dak Prescott, he shocked a lot of people. But I'm a bit surprised that he's getting the benefit of the doubt as if he's did this for 5 years. Does Dak have anything to prove to you? Or are you already sold that he's a top-tier quarterback for the near future?
Well, it was an unbelievable, you know, 17-game display a year ago. Disappointing in the loss to Green Bay, but it was an unbelievable display. Not just of poise, but ball handling, understanding the moment, the situations, you know, week in, week out. Nothing was too big for him. But we all know, we've seen one-year wonders. We've seen a guy that does it 1 year and then falls off. I mean, the expectations are that this is what people expect. It may not be, you know, 29 touchdowns counting his rushing touchdowns and the four interceptions that he's threw. It's about, you know, wins and playoff wins for him right now. And we all know the talent they have on offense. He's got to continue to make it go. But I don't know. I don't expect to see a big drop off from him. I think what we saw is who he is. Kind of an error-free, very poised player. Doesn't get too high, you know, even when they're putting winning streaks together, but was able to bounce back from disappointing losses to the Giants a year ago. So, I don't know. Like, I think what we saw, I think is what he is. I'd be surprised if there's a dramatic fallback this year.
Dak Prescott, 12-1, according to Bovada, to win the league's MVP. Ezekiel Elliott close behind at 20-1. Brian Baldinger joining us here on 95.7 The Game. A lot of enthusiasm surrounding the 49ers with their new move to coach, bringing in Shanahan, John Lynch brought in as the general manager. What do you see as the ceiling for this Niner team for this upcoming season?
You know, I don't really – I mean, this year is about – it's just a stepping stone. It's a baseline test, you know, because, look, they both signed six-year contracts. They're joined at the hip. I think they're two really bright people at their jobs. I think John's going to learn and grow very quickly. I think Kyle has to grow into the head coaching job. It's one thing to be the coordinator, to be a successful coordinator. Another thing to be the head coach and all those responsibilities. But you know, I think they had a good draft. I think they did a lot in free agency. It's a new roster. But I think it's just the beginning. And, you know, they've had four head coaches in 4 years. That's got to stop, and that has stopped. So, you know, whether, like, look, if they win 3 games, 4 games, 5 games this year, it's just the beginning. I think we could see a rapid rise and a turnaround. I think they'll be very competitive within 2 years, regardless of what they do this year. My expectations aren't real high. It's a tough division. They had the worst defense in the league last year, the worst rushing defense. You don't fix that overnight. Although I do think Solly Thomas and Reuben Foster will certainly help. I think Robert Saleh and what he does and what he brings from Seattle is going to help. But they need a lot of help. And so you can't do it all in 1 year. But the good thing is there's going to be some longevity between Shanahan and Lynch.
Baldy, me and you, they mess with me about my finger. Me and you got the same type of finger. We're twins in that category. Let's talk about offensive line. You know that. Sort of like Paul Revere. Wouldn't have been able to tell him that the British was coming. He said, listen, my children, you should hear the Midnight Ride of Paul Revere. It was about those horses. And there's a young guy in the Oakland Raiders offensive line, Gabe Jackson. Is this a guy that they got to sign? Now they took care of Carr. You know the clock has officially started. When you give a guy $125 million, your window is shrinking. So do you think now the next guy on that list should be a Gabe Jackson?
Well, you know, if you look at what Reggie has done and how they're building this thing, because David Carr was a second-round pick, they had some money to go out and sign Rodney Hudson, to sign Kelechi Assembly, to sign Donald Penn. You know, but the youngest guy and really a building block there with that is Gabe Jackson. And so I do think that the way that David Carr signed this contract, I think there's some flexibility in there to lock up Gabe Jackson. I mean, this is a homegrown player. They drafted him. He wasn't a free agent from another team. I do believe that he's in their plans. It may get done here before training camp, but I know it's going to get done, and they're going to lock him up. I think they understand. I think Jack understands. I think Mike Tice understands. I think Reggie understands that, you know, this is what you got to do. Once you find that trigger man, once you find that quarterback, then your next job is to protect that quarterback, and the very next job is to get after the quarterback with guys like Khalil Mack. So I think they understand the blueprint, and I think Gabe Jackson is going to be in the plans for a long time.
Baldy, one more before we let you go. Marshawn Lynch added to the mix. What should the expectation be for Beast Mode in Oakland after having more than a year off?
I don't know. I know this. I know they let Latavius Murray go because there was just too many. I think Lowe backed me up on this. I think there was just too many yards that were left on the ground. That offensive line mangled teams last year.
Sure.
And Murray just wasn't getting the yards that were there. I think, you know, when Beast Mode went there and, you know, the first time he visited, I think he sat in the film room and is like, Latavius Murray and T.J. Ward, you know, in the hole, one-on-one, and you're getting a yard. Beast Mode was looking at it going, there's five, there's six, there's a first down, there's a touchdown there to be had. If he's anywhere near what he was in 2000 and, let's say, the beginning of 2015, even 2014, if there's anything nearly that left, this is going to be an unstoppable offense. But I've got one question left for Lowe before you let me go.
Talk to me.
I got to know if you got your speech ready yet for one LT at the Hall of Fame.
We've been trying to help him, Baldy, with some of his stuff, but he's keeping it pretty close to the vest.
Baldy,
I got to tell you, you know, that Hall of Fame day now, Lowe, like, I'm watching you as much as I'm watching everybody else.
You
got one of the great ones walking in now, and first ballot, and, you know, there's not enough good things you can say about LT, but I just want to see how you put it all together, because I don't know how you stop gushing once you start talking about that man.
Now, you're absolutely right. LT knows that I love him. I think you got to see him now. You watched him play, but he works with you at the NFL Network. Amazing person. The biggest thing about LT to me, Baldy, is he's a better person than he is a player. You know,
I say it every day. I say it every day, Lo.
Amen, brother. So you know I'm going to bring the butter. You better be ready. Bring your popcorn, because I'm going to get crazy.
Baldy,
daddy.
He needs help. Right. Baldy, you need to sit down with him and help him out, because he hasn't done any prep. He's relying on his charm, his handsomeness, and his guile, which will take him a long way, but it won't take him all the way.
Tell him, don't worry about the mule going blind. Just hold the strings and pull the line, Baldy.
Hey, nobody ever worried about Lo before. I ain't worried about him now.
Brian Baldinger, tremendous performance, 12-year NFL vet, friend of the program. Follow him on Twitter at BaldyNFL. Brian, thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend, and we'll catch up with you soon.
All right, my pleasure, guys. Enjoy the beginning of the summer here.
Thank you so much. Yeah, Lowe off to Canton in about 6 weeks as
Nadanian
Tomlinson will get inducted.
No, I'm not nervous at all, man. It's easy when you speak from the heart, and it's someone that you love and someone you admire. And he was what he did for the game, one of the top backs to ever play in the National Football League.
Sure.
Without a question, Dibs.
Sure.
And so I'm excited about the opportunity.
Awesome.
We're all looking forward to it. It's going to be a great weekend for you in Canton, Ohio. You are unbelievable. JT the Brick is going to join us next. It's Jolo and Dibs here on 95.7.
Hey, Danny.
The game.
Now back to Jolo and Dibs on 95.7, The Game.
So it's a beach house in Miami, right? What else he got here, Lowe?
Talk to him, Dale.
You know what it is. Yeah. I got a two-bedroom in East Oakland. 12-year-old Honda. I got nothing. Can you stop, please? I'm trying to end this show on somewhat of a high note.
Shut up, Lowe.
Thank you, Jody. It's Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Cut the tunes, if you would, please. I've heard about enough of Lorenz O'Neal for one day. Lo'Neal, you're off on a little vacation, though. What do you got coming up, kid?
Well, you know what? I'm really excited. Today I'm going to help Derek Deese at a football camp down in San Jose.
That's awesome.
Then tomorrow I start off bad. Like a mother to me, Mrs. Robinson passed away, so I'm going to go to a funeral and pay respects. Do that. Great, wonderful lady. And then afterwards, I'm going to go play a little softball over
excellent.
There with Joe McGee. And
oh, Jug Life.
Yeah. So go out there and
at
the Coliseum, point my shot. You know, it's going to be a fun time. So go out there and hang out and just enjoy the day. And then start my vacation for a week. I'm going to do a lot of GC, ghetto construction. Going to be working down there in Lemoore. If you're welcome to come down and help me out. And
I'm good, Lo. And, you know, without any further ado, let's bring in JT the Brick here.
Wait, JT?
You know, I'm getting like more and more like Joe. I'm telling you, man.
JT, he hit on the high points, and just when he's starting to get to the low points, you cut him off. And that's what we do here, JT. Hearing you makes me want to have my own solo show after working with Lo'Neal.
You know, I want to have Lo's vacation, number one. I want to know how I get that vacation after these years here. And I never heard, Lo, of a GC vacation. Never heard of that before. That's a new one.
Yeah, you've heard of VC, venture capital. This is, I think, the opposite, JT.
JT, I work hard out there, JT.
I know you do. That's why you're
successful. Work hard for my money.
You put your hands in the dirt. Real estate is going to take you to the promised land. You're a mentor to many, my friend.
He's the slum lord from Lemoore. He's the slop king with no rings. He's our very own Lorenz O'Neal. Today at 10:30, JT, Derek Carr will be introduced as the new $125 million man. How much pressure will Derek Carr be under now that he's signed this monster 9-digit contract?
Well, I think he'll be under enormous pressure. Nationally, everyone's going to look at Carr as the highest paid player in the game. If you look at who he's making more money than Andrew Luck, Drew Brees, Kirk Cousins, Joe Flacco. Go down the list. Aaron Rodgers makes $22 million a year. Carr's going to make $25 million. So he will be compared every game, not every throw, but at the end of every game, there'll be someone in front of his locker if he wins or loses, if he throws a pick or a touchdown, and they'll equate the money he is making, and I think he'll be fine with that. I was with Reggie McKenzie last night and talked to Reggie about this in detail. Reggie couldn't believe how classy he was throughout this entire negotiation, how much he wanted to get it done, how much Reggie wanted to get it done, and this was the perfect guys' negotiation. No drama played out. There was like a day where people tried to stir the pot. There was nothing to stir. And Reggie and Carr and his representative get this deal done. It's a great day in the Raider Nation. And we'll take that press conference live at 10:30 to hear everybody talk about it.
It was a day we needed content, JT, which is why we stirred the pot. Okay? You know what it's like. He's got
I do.
Jim Cosmore at 10:15. John Dickinson at 11:30. JT, have a great show. Have a great weekend.
Have a great weekend, everybody. Take care, guys. See you soon.
We'll
appreciate
talk to you
it.
Soon, brother. That's JT the Brick. Weekdays from 10 to noon and, of course, 10:30 today, the Derek Carr press conference. We'll carry that for you live here on 95.7 The Game. Couple of housekeeping items. Jeff in Sunnyvale, congratulations. The winner of the tickets, the four tickets to the Alameda County Fair. He answered the trivia question correctly. How many seniors were taken in the first round of the NBA draft this year? Two. The last two picks of the first round, the only two seniors in the NBA draft. Time now for the Take Your Pick poll question presented by FH Daily and Novato Chevrolet. For that, we bring in Anna Kaganakis. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning, Dibs. We're sticking with the draft. The question is, are you more interested in watching the Lakers after LA drafted Lonzo Ball? As of right now, 52% of the voters are saying no.
Oh, 52 say no.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I honestly think I'll watch the beginning. I want to see how Lonzo does. I want to see if he lives up to the hype that his dad had put that, you know, he has a big pedestal right there. So I want to see how he does. And then I probably watch in the beginning, but maybe I don't know if I'd carry out throughout the whole season.
Yeah, I'm super excited to see him in L.A., certainly with his father close by playing for his hometown team. Guru, what do you think about Lonzo with L.A.?
I want him to do well, but remember, we are in warrior country, so I don't want him to do that well.
Nice. Right. Nice. What about you, Lo?
Yeah, I want him to do well because his father's put so much pressure because I think you shouldn't hate the young man, and I know people have mixed emotions about this young man. Shouldn't. Don't take all your frustration on the kid because his father's trying to build his brand.
Yeah, I don't know if that many people are rooting against the kid, per se. I know other NBA players are certainly out to get him, and he's a little bit of a marked man. Don't miss today at 1 o'clock as the Warriors introduce their newest player, Jordan Bell. a second round pick, number 38. Overall, the Warriors spent $3.5 million to acquire the pick from the Chicago Bulls. He reportedly will wear number 2 for the Golden State Warriors, and he will join the team, as will Chris Boucher, the big man out of Oregon, 6'10". Some say he's even as big as 7 feet. Another interior player added from Oregon. He was signed, not drafted. So hopefully they'll get him out there on the summer league team. Oof. And he'll be ready to roll as well. Gentlemen, good stuff today.
Have fun. Thanks for having me.
Really enjoyed it.
Thank you. From the 925, go to restaurant, call 5 and ask Pat. Pat LaRocca owns a restaurant, okay. Great place, and also the Doghouse Grill.
Yes.
You can go get some good barbecue there. Good.
Nice. Lo doing personal shout-outs and a show for one. Have a great 9 days off, brother. We'll talk to you July 6th.
Don't tell me what kind of vacation to have.
I have a rotten vacation.
I love you, buddy.
Lorenzo Neal, ladies and gentlemen.
Love you.
Thanks for
best.
Joining us. Brother, I love you more. For Anna, for Guru, for Lo, for Cody Elias in the back. And shout out nice guy Steven, our board op. It's birthday
Steven,
today.
Happy wearing
birthday.
That giant shirt. Wow.
19 years old today, Lo. It's incredible.
Happy birthday to you.
24, right? You turned 24. Nice guy Steven turning 24. Happy birthday, Steven. JT the Brick is next. Dan Dibley saying have a great weekend. You're listening to Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.